Venezuela's crisis deepens. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Several European countries, including Britain, France, and Germany, have now recognized Venezuela's opposition leader Juan Guaido as interim president after a deadline imposed by EU countries to call new presidential elections passed. President Nicolas Maduro, meanwhile, has warned against foreign interference. From Caracas, the BBC's Orla Guerin reports.
Another week has begun here with tension, uncertainty and political deadlock. In an interview with Spanish television, the embattled president said he would not cave in to pressure from those calling for his departure. Mr. Maduro accused the United States of instigating a political crisis in Venezuela. Though his country is ravaged by hyperinflation, he denied there was a humanitarian disaster.
Venezuela no tiene una crisis humanitaria. Venezuela tiene una crisis política.
Venezuela doesn't have a humanitarian crisis. It has a political crisis, an economic crisis. They've tried to say that we're going through a humanitarian crisis, as though we were in the final stages of a country at war, to justify all this foreign aggression, this interventionism.
President Maduro refused to rule out the possibility of civil war, saying that depended on the level of aggression from the United States. The US is strongly backing Venezuela's opposition leader, Juan Guaido, who has declared himself interim president. Mr. Guaido says he plans to bring humanitarian aid across the border from neighboring Colombia. If he manages to get food into the country, that could help to shift the balance of power. But so far, there's no sign of the military abandoning President Maduro.
Orla Guerin, let's do the numbers. Shares of Nissan traded higher in Tokyo after a weekend announcement it will shift production of a new SUV from Britain to Japan. Analysts say Brexit and stricter European emission rules are responsible. Now, an 11-month inquiry into Australian banks has published its recommendations. The BBC's Phil Mercer explains what they were accused of.
They've been accused of ripping off customers for years, including giving loans to people who had no hope of paying them back. And also, the big scandal in all of this is banks and financial institutions charging customers fees for services that either didn't exist or weren't delivered. And this includes charging fees to customers who had died. And the government has acknowledged the emotional stress and the personal pain in all of this. And one government minister saying that this misconduct had broken lives of people caught up in it.
Now, the inquiry has come up with a series of recommendations, but will anyone be held to account?
There are 76 recommendations. The Commission is referring several institutions to the corporate regulator here for possible criminal charges. No companies or individuals have been named, but the Commission really is savaging the aggressive sales-driven culture of Australia's banking and finance industry. But now, of course, it's up to the government to decide how many of these recommendations it adopts.
Phil Mercer. Facebook is 15, and it's been a turbulent coming of age, the BBC's Amol Rajan reports.
When we first launched, we were hoping for, you know, maybe 400, 500 people. Harvard didn't have a Facebook.
He went from nerdy undergrad at Harvard, who designed a system for rating girls, to the personification of tech utopianism.
My top priority has always been our social mission of connecting people, building community, and bringing the world closer together.
Mark Zuckerberg, an awkward but exceptionally entrepreneurial New Yorker, had one revelatory insight. The digital trails we leave online are gold dust.
Everything that you have seen here is launching tonight.
Shares in the social networking site Facebook have risen.
Facebook has said more than 1 billion people are now using the social network site,
valuing the company at more than £65 billion.
Barack Obama's insurgent campaign for president in 2008 lent heavily on Facebook to connect like-minded liberals. But that was then, and this is now.
Charges have been brought in the United States against 13 Russians who are alleged to have posed as Americans to interfere.
It emerged that Russia had used bots, automated software that mimic human behavior online, to distort the presidential election of 2016. And then this.
You know, what happened with Cambridge Analytica was a major breach of trust. So we need to make sure that this never happens again.
Mark Zuckerberg speaking last year. For all his talk of global values, Zuckerberg never hid the fact that he was in the business of selling ads. And now there is a new front in the battle between social media and society. its impact on young minds.
So many of our children are put under such pressure by social media.
Catherine Birbal-Singh is head teacher of Michaela, a free school in North London. In the past week, Facebook has had to contend with revelations that pictures of self-harm on Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, may have contributed to the suicide of 14-year-old Molly Russell.
In the same way that we ban smoking, alcohol, we need to give serious consideration to whether or not they ought to have unsupervised access to the internet.
I asked Steve Hatch, Facebook's boss in Europe, how the company is changing.
The major difference between Facebook 15 years old and 10 or even kind of 5 years prior to that is we are big enough and capable enough to put the right resources into these improvements, to put the right resources into safety and integrity.
There is a question over whether Zuckerberg, as founder, CEO, majority shareholder and chair, has too much power. Though his own view is that if he stepped down as chair, it still wouldn't satisfy critics.
I started Facebook, I run it, and I'm responsible for what happens here.
There was an old maxim that if it's free online, you are the product. In fact, if it's free online, your data is the product, and advertisers are the customers. What this means for the future of democracy is something this anguished corporate teenager is still working out.
I'm Ol Rajan reporting. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.